Today on Annenberg Radio News.
She and I are buddies now. I told her I'd come and visit her, and she'll come and visit me.
A cross-cultural friendship formed over a special gathering to mark the Passover holiday. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. I'm Emily Frost. Early this morning, the Fairfax District in Hollywood experienced 6 water main breaks. As Tricia Tonko reports, water flooded the streets. Water gushes out of a pump as a crew of workers drill into the pavement to fix the ruptured pipe on this block of Vista Street in West Hollywood. Lawns are still muddy from the morning's flood. Longtime resident Susan Snyder says that people had to walk up onto their lawns to avoid the water. The streets dry now that the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power has replaced the ruptured pipe, but Snyder is still worried.
Well, I think the biggest concern is that there's a big sinkhole in front of my neighbor's house, which extends about halfway across the street.
Just a few miles away, the DWP's district superintendent, Breonna Lindsay, is working with a crew to fix the largest break. That's at the farmer's market at the Grove. According to Lindsay, the water main breaks were caused by work being done on the Franklin Reservoir during an inspection. That led to an increase in pressure that ruptured the water main.
What are you guys going to do to prevent this in the future?
It is an aging infrastructure, working on an infrastructure replacement program. We're right now replacing 35,000 feet this year. It's a structure that we need to replace, and we're working diligently at trying to replace it.
Water will be in service, and streets will be open by 7 tonight. This is Tricia Tonko for Annenberg Radio News. Hundreds of union workers gathered in City Hall today to support the launching of Prosper LA. As Jake O'Brien reports, it's an economic effort to boost some of LA's largest industries.
The Prosper LA launch has raised the hopes of many union workers across the city. 8 groups ranging from LA airport workers to home health care workers to the port trucking industry banded together to form this coalition to show they can change LA's economy and the environment. Los Angeles Airport's representative Alejandra Valles says the workers, not the employers, are the people that can make a difference.
A lot of these employers are fighting workers, trying to make them feel that they're lucky to have a job and therefore they should tolerate unsafe working conditions. And that's not what's happening here. We're in this problem in our economy because of the top 1%, not because of the 99%.
Members of Prosper LA contend many of their jobs also have unsafe working conditions. According to the Don't Waste LA campaign, in 2008, waste and recycling haulers had a higher on-the-job fatality rate than firefighters and police officers. It's the mission of Prosper LA to raise the pay of the workers it thinks deserve it. By doing so, the coalition asserts that workers will be more efficient, leading to higher levels of productivity. As Roxanne Tynan, director of the LA Alliance for a New Economy, says,
money is like manure. You gotta spread it around to make things grow.
Prosper LA plans to continue raising awareness of its economic plan and strive to make Los Angeles a more sustainable city. Jake O'Brien, Annenberg Radio News.
The father of a Pasadena teenager killed by police broke down crying on a local radio show this morning. Officers shot 19-year-old Kendrick McDade last month after a false armed robbery report. Logan Healy reports.
Around 11 p.m. on March 24th, police were responding to an armed robbery call. The caller claimed two men robbed him at gunpoint and fled the scene. According to police, two officers tried to detain Kendrick McDade, but then opened fire on him as he reached for his waistband. They believed he was carrying a gun. No weapon was found, and McDade later died at a hospital. The case has caused many to draw comparisons to the Trayvon Martin killing in Florida. This morning, Kenneth McDade called into KJLH Radio's Front Page show to say his son's shooting wasn't right and vowed to fight for justice.
And he was a good guy. You know, that was it. He was a good boy. He didn't deserve that.
The second suspect, a 17-year-old Pasadena boy, was arrested nearby. He's facing felony counts of burglary and grand theft. According to KABC, police blame Oscar Carrillo, the 911 caller, for falsely claiming the suspects were armed. Prosecutors say they need to investigate more before Carrillo can be charged with involuntary manslaughter. Carrillo is being held in jail on an immigration hold. The McDade family's lawyer and community activists say they have serious questions about the killing. The Pasadena Police Department says it is investigating the shooting internally, as well as with the county's officer-involved shooting team and an independent review group. Logan Healy, Annenberg Radio News.
Hundreds of thousands of tickets are written every year for using cell phones while driving. This month is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and drivers might want to stash more than just their cell phones. Kira Brakey reports.
Hands on wheels, eyes on the road.
PSA announcements like this one discouraging the use of texting while driving are nothing new. Tickets for cell phone offenses have gone up in the last 3 years. Almost 500,000 tickets were written in California just last year alone. The LAPD and California Highway Patrol have named April National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Chris Cochran is the Assistant Director for the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Distracted driving is anything that takes away from the task of driving, anything that keeps your eyes from focusing on the road ahead, your hands on the wheel, or your brain activity utilizing what it needs to have in order to safely operate the motor vehicle.
The emphasis this month is specifically on talking and texting while driving, but Cochran says officers will be paying attention to much more.
You're not going to be ticketed for changing the radio station or adjusting your rear view mirror or those types of things. You will be ticketed if you've got a big sloppy hamburger in your hand and you're trying to negotiate the road. You're going to be ticketed if you're putting on makeup or shaving or reading a book.
LA drivers are known to be both aggressive and frequently distracted. 22-year-old Mac Pierce says he is no exception.
I just am driving to Vegas constantly, and I've got these plates of food in my lap, and I have to prop the steering wheel against my knee to keep from veering into oncoming traffic.
Well, I have a karaoke machine in the back.
LA resident Dave Samick.
And sometimes I sing when I drive on an auto-tune, so people in other cars look over at me and I'm singing really loud.
USC student Anya Lair says she is well aware of the damage that can be done from not paying attention.
I don't text because of the danger. That's scary. I have, a few times before, and then all that happens is I don't see that the light changes and then people are honking at me.
Last National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, over 52,000 people were cited in that 1 month alone. Traffic safety spokesman Chris Cochran says he expects even more this year. If you are caught texting while driving, the first offense will cost you $159. But depending on what else you're cited for, it could be more. So drivers, beware. Kira Brecky, Annenberg Radio News.
A man called the Dreamer was honored today at the Veterans Administration in Los Angeles. As Jackie Grant reports, he was recognized for giving veterans free haircuts.
Tony Bravo treks from Arizona to California every month in his Star Spangled trailer, which is filled with veteran knickknacks and memorabilia. He calls it the Freedom Barbershop.
My little trailer here has been parked here now for 5-6 years.
The World War II veteran gives between 150 to 250 free haircuts every month. Today, at the Veterans Affairs Campus in West Los Angeles, Bravo was honored with his service with an American flag that flew at the largest U.S. military airbase in Iraq. Bravo says these haircuts mean more than just a clean shave.
The guys are kind of broken a little bit. They had courage some time ago, and they had a brain and they had a heart. But I think we're entertaining them a little bit with a haircut and making them kind of be aware that they have a courage.
Bravo, who's known as the Dreamer by most, thinks his services are just him doing his part in this world.
I think people need to know that there's a lot of good people out in the world that want to help and do the right thing. And I'm just one of them. I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
While Bravo may think he is just another person, his newly awarded flag hangs right above his barber station, proudly reminding him of the gratitude of his fellow veterans. Jackie Grant, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. Partly cloudy tonight with lows just above 50. A mix of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a high of 70 and a low of 50. And on Thursday, expect more sun, highs in the upper 60s and lows in the upper 40s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Chinese investors are the second largest group of international homebuyers in the U.S., a portrait of how one investor is staking her claim in L.A. Passover begins at sundown Friday night. In honor of the Jewish holiday, an unusual group gathered in Boyle Heights this week. Natasha Zuvez was there to hear their stories.
The Japanese Retirement Center was filled with new sights, sounds, and tastes on Monday morning. 50 Japanese seniors, 50 Jewish seniors, and one rabbi gathered to break unleavened bread in anticipation of Passover.
Everybody's loving it. So far, everybody's loving it. They're very excited.
Roundtables brought Jewish and Japanese retirement home residents together for the first time. Even Rabbi Anthony Ellman got in on the multicultural spirit.
I'm very excited. I had sushi last night, in fact.
The cultural exchange is in honor of the Jewish home's 100th anniversary, but the original site of the home is now a Japanese retirement center, so the two centers compromised, celebrating Passover together, followed by a meal of sushi. Seating was randomly assigned, but so far, 89-year-old Lucille Weiss and 86-year-old Betty Uchida have become fast friends. Here's Weiss.
Oh, I love her. I hit the jackpot.
And here's Uchida.
She's wonderful. I feel like she's a friend that I've always had.
Weiss is the Passover veteran here. She's done the ceremony her whole life. But just as the group is dipping parsley into salt water, both of Weiss's hearing aids fail. So first-timer Uchida guides them both through the rest of the Seder.
She was pointing out things to me, and I'm the Jew. I was really lucky, I'm telling you.
Passover marks the exodus of Israelite slaves from Egypt. It's a celebration of freedom and the end of oppression. And in this way, Sean Miyake, president of Kiro Senior Healthcare, says the Japanese and Jewish residents here have more in common than one might think.
Jewish people, of course, in World War II were put in concentration camps. The Japanese had a very similar experience being put in relocation camps here in the United States.
Uchida and Weiss talk about this as they sip their wine substitute, grape juice. Both Weiss and Uchida vividly remember World War II. Uchida's family owned a restaurant in California.
When the war started, we had to just close it and lose everything that we had, because each person only had 40 pounds to carry. Oh, I remember, you know, being put in the barbed wire and then cannot get out. And they did have guns so that, you know, we won't get out of line.
And Weiss said upon receiving news of the slaughter of her people overseas, she joined the Air Force as a flight nurse.
And this way I was able to travel all over the world, China, Burma, India, but I lost a lot of friends. A lot of friends.
After the Passover ceremony closes, sushi and rice are served. Uchida shows Weiss how to hold her chopsticks, and they make promises to see each other again soon.
She and I are buddies now. I told her I'd come and visit her, and she'll come and visit me.
It's hard to believe Uchida and Weiss were strangers this morning. In a ceremony all about coming together with family, the two of them seem to have found each other at the perfect time. Natasha Zuvess, Annenberg Radio News.
Not everyone is hurting in the recession-battered real estate market. There's a new wave of Chinese investors finding gold in Southern California real estate. Today, in 20-somethings, our ongoing series on the millennial generation, we have the story of a 25-year-old Chinese entrepreneur.
I bought it below market, even if I were to sell it.
On a sunny afternoon, Tina Shao is riding with her agent, Al Lahab, in his Lexus. She has a stack of portfolios on her knees and is looking over the details for a three-bedroom house in Azusa.
Because I already have townhouse, so I want to look for something.
The best thing is look
different.
For 3 units.
Yeah, a duplex or 3 units, and then get a loan. So you just have to be actively looking. There's a lot of factors to it. It's not just buying the house at a very low cost. In any market, if you know how to look, you can always make money.
Tina is part of the army of Chinese investors pouring money into the U.S. housing market. They rush to the U.S. because they can buy what they cannot in China. Under current policy, each family can buy no more than 2 properties.
to them, it's something real, something they can hold on to. Because in China, you don't own the land. But then here, the sense that you're owning something makes them feel like, oh, look, I am, in Chinese, we say 地主, which is landowner. It just makes them feel like they're rich and that they have control.
Tina works at the foreclosure department of a local bank in LA. She's lived in the States since 1999. Her job guarantees a stable paycheck, but Tina says it is not what she wants for her life. When she stumbled upon the real estate market a year ago, she saw her opportunity.
I think there's this moment when everything just clicks, went like that. I think I just got determined to say I need to take action, especially I have to take advantage of the housing market prices dropping.
In the past year, Tina taught herself about real estate by reading books and meeting with experts. Finally, she convinced her parents to give her about $400,000 as a starting fund.
You know, I just keep on telling them, it's time to buy a house, you know, and then eventually it penetrated through their brain cells and then it just kind of clicked. They say, let's do it.
Now Tina stands in front of a two-bedroom townhouse near Pasadena City College. She bought it with cash in late January. The house meets Tina's criteria for location and financing, and it's about $25,000 below the market price.
My motivation behind it is that I don't want to just work and get money and then spend, but I want to be able to use my money to grow money so I don't have to think about it. In the long term, I will be a wealthy person.
For that, Tina has a plan. Lease this house in Pasadena, buy a duplex nearby, refurbish and flip it for profit, and then look for another one to flip.
I was telling my friend or my coworker, it's kind of like a joke. You know, there's a family who owns Irvine, so all the residents have to pay to, you know, to the family. Wow. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe eventually I'll own the Azusa and Pasadena and then San Gabriel Valley, and then you have to all pay to
everything
me.
Everything is possible.
While Americans are losing their homes, people from Tina's birth country are buying more houses than ever before. Chinese investors contribute 9% to the $41 billion in international sales for U.S. homes, becoming the second largest group of international home buyers in the U.S. Tina thinks the strong buying is actually helping American people out by getting them out of bad mortgages for a reasonable price. For her side, Tina knows risk is inevitable. She is undeterred.
You know, a lot of people are stopped by fear. They can make money, they can do that. And then later on, they regret it. It's like, oh, look, if I invested, then I would have made so much. But because of that, because I was scared that it would blah, 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 so I didn't do it. I think everyone has that fear. And then I was just able to kind of step over my fear.
After looking around the three-bedroom house in Azusa, Tina thinks it is nice, but not cheap enough for flipping. Tina says to get a good buy, you need to be patient. And now, Tina and Al are driving to her next target. That story was produced by Yasser Zhang. I spoke with him about the story behind the story with the help of translator Christy Hang. I asked him about the trend of young Chinese buying homes in the U.S.
Yes, I have seen that there are a lot more Chinese coming to America and buying real estate, especially students at USC that are coming here to, first of all, study, and second of all, to use this as an excuse to buy real estate. It's definitely a trend that is becoming more and more relevant, and it's going to be more and more relevant in the future.
So Tina buys her house in cash. Is that something that you noticed when you were studying this trend?
Yes, it's definitely a phenomenon. Chinese people are coming over here and buying houses with all cash. Tina, for example, brought her first property in Pasadena using all cash. But I think if she goes on to buy more property, perhaps she'll consider taking out a loan or whatnot. But it is definitely a Chinese concept to buy property using all cash.
So Tina learned how to invest from reading books and talking to professors, and she sort of learned on her own. But do you think that Chinese parents are encouraging their children and teaching their children about the concept of real estate investment?
So Tina learned to invest on her own. But in my personal experience, well, I grew up in China, and in my family, we talk about the concept of investing and real estates as well as stocks. It's a topic at the dinner table. You know, stocks, it's what's a good place to invest, when to do it. You can't say that parents are directly teaching you something about investing, but it's something that's inadvertently talked about. They share their experiences with us, and it's kind of like a mutual learning experience.
So I guess on a personal level, what was the most interesting thing for you in doing this reporting? What surprised you?
This experience allowed me to learn about Chinese Americans and Chinese living in America, and also about the Chinese immigrant experience within the realm of the real estate. Tina is in her mid-20s. She came to this country at 13. She's a first-generation Chinese here in America. And the fact that she's around my age just fascinates me. And I think this was a great opportunity to learn how life is like for someone who is my peer.
And what is Tina doing now? How is her plan going?
Tina is going through a bad luck streak right now. She's currently not too successful on her real estate plan. Her Pasadena house has yet to be rented out. The trend thus far has been that people are interested in renting her house out, yet it never really goes through. And in order to successfully flip the houses, she needs the funds from the first house in order to get the loan for subsequent houses.
Well, I wish Tina the best. This has been so interesting. Thank you so much, Yasser, and thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Christy Heng has a degree in Asian Humanities and studies broadcast journalism at USC. She works at Mix TV, an Asian American lifestyle channel. Yasser Zhang is a visiting scholar at USC. He is from Beijing. In the last 30 years, the rates of obesity among Mexican Americans have doubled. That's according to federal researchers who say 40% of Mexican American adults are obese. That news is troubling in South Los Angeles, where there are few choices for healthy food. Sean Patrick Lewis reports.
Thank you for choosing KFC Taco Bell. How can I take your order?
Can I have your chicken pot pie?
Pot pies, fried chicken, burgers.
Yeah, make that 2 sodas.
Oh, and don't forget the drink. If you're in South LA, any fast food you want, you can have in minutes.
You're welcome. It's going to be $11.94.
And if anyone knows a thing or two about fast food, it's father of three, Joe Vidal, who picked up his family's dinner at Taco Bell.
Everywhere you go in South LA, I mean, if you're driving by, you could come probably like from here to Manchester. There's a party like around 12, 13 stores, fast food restaurants. That's where we're all like this.
Vidal laughs about his bulging belly. But it was that troubling fat fact that had city leaders looking for change. 2 years ago, the LA City Council approved a moratorium on fast food in South LA. That meant no new fast food restaurants, period. And for Gwendolyn Flynn of the Community Health Councils, it couldn't have come any sooner.
We found that we have an overconcentration of fast food restaurants in South Los Angeles compared with West LA. There's high rates of obesity, high rates of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even cancers.
Flynn says it's still too early to tell if the ban made any impact, but has worked, making people think about community health for themselves.
What we think is going to ultimately result in us being able to look at other alternatives that can come into the place of these fast food restaurants. If we can have a location, South Los Angeles, can offer different options that make it easy for people to make good choices, I think that they will make those choices.
Choices Joe Vidal might make for his family's next meal.
We try not to eat as much fat food, but I do worry about my kids because that's all they see. I just wish that they would have a lot better food for us here.
Can I be down for one number two with Doubleicious with potato wedges and a Pepsi? $5.75.
In South LA, Sean Patrick Lewis.
Thank you.
Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Kendall Fisher to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Kendall.
Thank you so much. Tonight we have the latest coverage on the tornado that is ripping through Texas. Also, see how mammograms may be causing some problems in breast cancer screening, leading to what may be unnecessary treatment. Finally, a new report shows that L.A. County ranks 28th of 58 counties in California. We'll bring you the full story tonight at 6 on ATVN.
Thank you so much. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help from Anna Catherine Brigida, Evan Budrovich, and John Dibbled. Aaron Schrank is our producer for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News. I'm Emily Frost.